So I guess the first thing, and just kind of a, I guarantee it's something that you guys get all the time, but it's the one that,
yep.
being that you guys are a huge group, it's kind of, where did you guys all meet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my sophomore year of college at Rutgers, I went to the acting conservatory with Jerry, and Keith and Brian were in the music conservatory, and were living with Jim, who was studying biology. And I was like sharing a room with a roommate that I'd been assigned that like I definitely didn't jive with. And my place was right in front of a cemetery, like shit sucked. And Brian let me sleep on their couch. And they were all, always jamming with their instruments and stuff. And I don't play any instruments or anything. Wasn't even like into music that much, but like, I learned how to freestyle so that I could kind of take part in the jams. And then, after doing that for a couple months, I started writing to the beats they were making. I brought Jerry. Jerry started writing the beats. We eventually made an album. And then we were like, oh, what are we going to call this like thing we're doing right now? And we were living on a Cook Douglas campus in Rutgers University, and one of our boys had like this like joke, running joke named Cook Douglas, that was like a group of rappers and like here that like ran around the campus and stuff. And we were trying to come up with the name.
I think it was actually Jeff P. I don't want to credit him incorrectly, but it might have been Jeff P.
No, it definitely was. I actually have footage of it. Nice. It was Jeff Patesha, who was originally in the band, but then he left and joined Cold Weather Company, which is like our brother band right now. We still make music together and stuff, but we kept making this Cook Douglas joke. And when it came down to name the band, we were like, all right, well, this kept coming up. So we thought maybe that would be appropriate, and we didn't figure it would, grow into what it really has. At the time it was definitely just, playing around and having fun with it. And then we really stuck with it, and Cook Douglas got cemented into being our group is.
It was since we were just sophomores, and there were like three ongoing years after that where we were physically at Rutgers, New Brunswick, New Jersey. It kind of like it made sense for it to stick, just because it was like anyone who saw us perform like got the joke. People who were like at basement shows and stuff were like, oh, and then we played and they were like, oh my god. Yeah, it was just an in joke, and now it's gone horribly too far, and we can't change it now. And
we've had a lot of conversations about it actually, but ultimately doing that would just undo the work we've done, and it's at our core who we are. So you gotta just commit.
Yeah, once you make a brand, you can't really go back on it, even if it's like it's questionable about the
very.
Maybe we could have changed the name, but I mean, you already have a brand, so it's like you gotta stick with it. So.
100%. That's exactly what it is, and I find that with a lot of things. Once you've really committed and named something, you got to rock that. That's you, bro. That's who you are.
And so you two specifically, I didn't even mention this, but why don't you guys just give me your like full name, and then also like your role within Cook Douglas, like specifically, because it's a pretty big band, a bunch of guys, so it's good to get at least
My name is Jean-Louis Droulers, super French last name, but I'm a vocalist. I'm one of three vocalists in the band. If you hear like a lot of screaming and like raspy shit, that's probably me. that's me, yeah. And I'm from Caracas, Venezuela. I was born there and then moved to Jersey, met the rest of these boys.
Jean-Louis' vocals are either like he's at a rager, or he's like waking up. It's like the first 1 minute of him waking up from a rager.
Yeah.
Hey, so,
gotta get those radical differences.
My name is Keith Lally. I produce for Cook Douglas. I play instruments and structure out songs, and sometimes I write songs, and just kind of doing a lot of the back end work as well. A lot of the business parts and PR. Jean-Louis.
Sorry, people I just on got
the
a radio duck,
can't, so see, can't see the duck.
Oh, that's right. All right, I'll put him away. Here, take him.
Thank
off.
You. But yeah, so I'm a producer. I play trombone for the live band. I do sing sometimes, but rarely.
Yeah, Keith throws vocals on there. He's just an all-man band of himself, really, really composes, creates, writes, the man. And then there's we've got me, Jerry, and Koi Cola are the three vocalists. Mm-hmm. Jim and Keith are the producers. Mm-hmm. And then Brian is an instrumentalist, and Riley is an instrumentalist as well. Brian plays sax and flute, and Riley plays bass and guitar. And then we have our boy Jamar, who drums, and you can also hear on some of the songs as well.
Okay.
He's like Figaro's him, for example. He's okay. Not as like consistent on the tracks, but like, you know, it just, you'll hear him.
So, yeah. You know, okay. Gotcha. So I guess the biggest thing relating to like everything that's going on right now, and probably the most important thing because you guys are in the process of dropping your newest album, how has this creative and communication process like changed because of COVID-19, and how has that affected just the dynamic and how you guys work together?
It's actually been pretty cool because we've had to find ways to make music when we're not together. Like while we were like Airbnb-ing places in LA and like making the record there. But then once COVID hit, like, you know, I don't have family in New Jersey, but all the other boys, they have like people that they, you know, everyone collectively felt to be smart to leave. And, you know, we all got split up. And so we had to figure out how to make music while we're not together. And we discovered that here on Discord is actually a great way to make music. I'll send in my top lines with my phone, and as they're cooking up beats in their own separate zones, sending stems to each other, and so it's really just actually opened up our ability to make music no matter where we're at, which was something that I found limiting in the past, but has actually grown to be super super cool and productive. And then I'll fly out eventually at the beginning of July, I'll fly out to record the set of songs that, you know, will be the project after Yikes.
Gotcha.
It's definitely really different though. Yeah. So basically between July of 2019 and February, March of 2020, we were all living together. Five of us, like sort of consistently and definitively. So the communication process was a little bit more like kind of off the cuff and like on the fly. There was a lot of information just kind of being passed around like immediately, you know, and everyone was in the know because it was a real palpable, tangible thing we were talking about. So this, like these Discord sessions have been very cool, but kind of having to rely back again on like the group chat and like things that are a little bit more, you kind of have to go out of your way. You can't just like tell your boy in the next room, like, oh, can we do this and blah, blah, blah. And then you do it. And like an hour later it's done. There's a lot more communicating that needs to get done. So it's a little bit more effort and thought, but it's still like, we're still rocking in the free world, you know?
Yeah. There's pros and cons, and ultimately there's so much happening in the nation right now. And, we've also, taken a step to, you know, we've postponed our record for the time being in order to like, you know, give action to, you know, what's happening now. So it's kind of fighting for that and also making music on Discord and just making sure that we've set ourselves up to just continue pushing and creating music because that's what we do, and getting into a system that where we can really do that even if we're far away, and then eventually meet up and be together for like 2 months and just rock it out, and then eventually go on tour, which was what we were planning to do before COVID.
Yeah.
We were going on our first tour. We were planning that out. We were like, yeah, we'll make this album. We're going to go on tour. It's all going to be peachy, but you know, shit happens. You readapt and hopefully, you know, we'll be able to set something up soon after this and just take advantage of the time to really continue developing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. And it's good that, cause I think that's a big thing is like the separation is a time for us. I think it's difficult to think about it retrospectively, like, cause it's just so tough on paper, but it's also giving you guys more time to cultivate and work out
really
the kinks and be able to get feedback on stuff. So
it's been super, super healthy really to step back and like sit for a second, because our time together in Los Angeles was, you know, we got into a whole lot of adventures, and it was a lot of times where, you know, a lot of people living in a kitchen, you know, in a small space and like in like less than desirable circumstances. So, you know, we've needed some time to process those things. And also it's just taught us so much, and it's all about balance. You know, you can't be doing the same thing every day. There's different times for different processes, and I'm also working on a bit of a doc because I've got a lot of footage about like what we've been through, and I've gotten time to kind of put that together, and so you know, just great.
I completely feel that this whole scenario that's going on is like giving me time to work on things I didn't think I was going to work on. I started making some music myself, and I actually for class I had to do something right. else, and I initially wanted to work on just revamping a like competitive gaming documentary I made in high school, but I totally scrapped it because the theoretical framework that I had to add because of the class like ruined the whole concept that I had in my head. So I completely veered it, and I made it I did a behind the scenes like mini doc about like the process I made when making music and stuff, and so that was a lot of fun, and it's great to like go down new paths that are open because you now have more time on your hands and isolate and do all that. Yeah, so it's a blessing
and it gives you it really gives birth to a whole other opportunity. I learned how to animate.
That's so fucking awesome. That, yeah,
I've been on that vibe, real excited about that because I got a lot of hours to sit here and draw frames by frame, you know, doing it by hand.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So power to that, man. It's really how you deal with loss that measures your success.
Yeah. So next question I have is, so I've been listening to the preview that Brian gave me of Yikes, and like your past albums and the singles, you have bangers like, you know, Fuck the Second Floor and Bonkers, but you also, I've noticed, like, I think majority of the tracks, especially, you know, like California, Pink Pilot, tend to veer into that more kind of quote-unquote indie kind of aesthetic. Was there anything that prompted a handful or at least the majority of the songs to kind of start to get to this kind of sort of flow and cadence?
Yeah, sure. So there were a number of songs that it's so interesting because you kind of have to go backwards a little bit. So something that brought us out into LA in the first place was this opportunity to work with some people who were very, very much in the pop lane. And LA is very, like, the LA music scene is very pop oriented. It's all about like making hits, and there's a structure to things. Just understanding like pop as a whole and like what makes songs accessible and just learning the tropes and all that. And our first few months there were really kind of digging in very hard to learn what that was, to adapt. And we kind of lost access to a lot of those songs for a few different reasons. But afterwards, we all kind of came together and we're like, well, we want to put this new record together with these new skills and with this new understanding and just be ourselves and all that. And kind of like songs like Pink Pilot, it was not only that, but it was also like we were working with this guy, this producer named Earl, who's also like mixing, mastering the record, like really, really cool dude. But he's very like in that lane as well. And so, you know, a song like Pink Pilot is very like hard hitting, like big, like pop music. But because we've always been, you know, in the unsigned, like weirdo music department, I think it's naturally going to have kind of like an indie
well,
aesthetic, I think.
There's also one big factor here is that Koi Cola, who has historically filmed our music videos with his company Moon Culture Films that he co-founded with Anthony King. He makes music in his own right. He's got his own artist name and everything. But when we were moving to LA, you know, he was such a prominent, talented artist. He was living at my house now and everything. And I was like, dude, why don't you like come with us and just start making music with us? So he came out to LA with us and he comes from a lot more of like that indie field and vibe, and really, you know, sure, his influence was what brought a whole new element to what we were doing. So if you look at Lost in LA, which was the EP after Lux, it's like radically different.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of that more in really going in that direction for that project after Lux, which
right.
only had me, Jerry, and Jamar on it, and Keith actually as well. But you know, when he joined the band, obviously it's a new energy, and I think it's also going to take a second to A, go in that direction, and then recalibrate to where we all meet in the middle. And I think that mixed with the pop influence that we were being pushed in really hard when we got into LA,
yeah.
you know, we went from making our own DIY shit back home to like really falling in and doing pitch tracks for big artists and like, you know, reworking our entire styles. You know, I was told don't write any more verses. Just do hooks. Just make hooks. So I was like, what? What the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
Yo, I want this song to have three hooks. Stop writing verses. Yeah, no, just hooks only, bro. Shit we can sell. And yeah.
I think also it's like, because definitely Koi's very much in the indie lane, but I think also Jim is very much in that lane as well, but I don't think he necessarily like had an outlet before to kind of do the indie thing, like specifically for Thuglass, you know. Mm-hmm. Like you can hear in some of the songs he's done with some other artists, but him, you know, California, all the productions Jim, so him really being able to bring that to the table, maybe more, I don't want to speak for him, but maybe feeling more like it's kind of got like it's going to be followed up on, because there's some people in the band now that really appreciate that indie side of things, and everyone else is kind of like just being very adaptive and trying to work and all the lanes.
The thing with having another influence in there is that it also gives us an opportunity to open up and try different styles of our own, which has been really cool. And I'm really happy to say that on this last record, Yikes, except for the first song and the last song, all three top lines are on it, and we've really figured out how to meld our voices in a cohesive way so that it doesn't just feel like, yo, anyone can just hop on and this is like a lunchroom rap kind of thing. It's like, no, this is a cohesive song with a lot of voices that are different, but like we're really working to find ways to just make that more cohesive, and this is an ever-evolving thing, and there are hits and there are misses and everything in between, but you know, it's really cool to see that we're trying to develop something together that's going to meld well and not just be like everyone goes some shit and we keep it.
I definitely did notice that. I think Yikes is definitely a great balance of, like I said, both kind of the more pop influenced stuff, and then also it still has that kind of aggressive, a lot of the songs that I felt were kind of there on Lux. So as you said, Lux and the EP and you guys kind of with going to LA, I definitely can see that. And I think people are going to hear that as well. Yeah,
totally. Like we went that really indie route, and now we're pulling back and making it a part of this while also trying to put that pop in there and keep it aggressive. And you know, it's very chaotic, so you know, we'll just keep this shit's always changing, bro. It's a beautiful thing.
That's the great thing about art. Yeah, it always morphs and folds into something else. Yeah,
exactly.
And so, speaking of bangers, so the preview that I was given, and I don't know if this was error, but it didn't contain Mosh Pit, which was one of the it may have been just a missing thing. I don't know if Yikes actually does have Mosh Pit on it.
Yikes, that will be on
definitely on the Yikes album.
Okay,
you can see a track list I think on our Instagram, like fully. It should be 9.
Okay,
yeah, I think that's okay on there.
Yeah, I think
pink ones.
Yeah,
yep, I got it. So I'm looking at it right now on my phone, and it's so after Bad Luck, I think that's where it should be, because I only had it says that there's 9 tracks, but it's missing some, like missing one of them. So yeah, I'm assuming Mosh Pit would have been.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay. And that makes perfect sense now, because that was the thing that I was wondering.
Totally, man. Yeah, it's been an interesting thing press wise with this, because we've kind of put out a bunch of singles that are like on radically different planes. So you know, Brian's expressed to us that you know it's definitely been a struggle to find a lot of people to write for it, because when it's varied, radically varied in that sense, it like might fit in one lane, but then this other song doesn't fit in that lane. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, what do you cater that to? You know, I take pride in that, but our shit's always been hard to market. That's classic.
It's very interesting kind of having to write a radically different like press release and like aim it at different platforms every time I want to like send out a single release.
Dude,
you know, it's like
I love those items. I'm kind of so juicy.
It's really like I've found that like, you know, there's so many resources out there to figure out how to market and promote your music as an independent person. It's great, but to say like it's doing it really differently every time. Like if every single time we were like, oh, let's go like the hard rap lane, or every time let's go in the like chill indie lane, or like soft sad boy lane, or whatever it is. Like there's outlets for each one of these things individually, but there's not a lot of outlets that cover each one of those groups, you know, at the same time. Some of the biggest, most important ones are very hard to get in touch with, so you know, it's what it is. It's fine.
It's part of it's part of that journey, but you know, we can't really change that, because we have so many influences and opinions and ideas for different songs. So we're always going to deliver a product that's going to negate itself. If that makes sense.
And you also don't want to ever paint yourself into a corner. And I think that's one of the great things about your sound that I find is that it doesn't really fit into one box. And so that by itself can be a hindrance, but also it's one of the great things as a band that makes you guys so unique. So, yeah.
Totally, man. It's also something we're trying to lean into with the brand. You know, that's why the collective thing is so important, because it really wants to represent a larger thing, and you know, visuals paint a part of that, but you know, venture into all sorts of lanes. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a comment and a question, but I just want to say I thought the closing track, I'm Still Here, was fucking awesome. The little reprise of all the other choruses and hooks, and then also the final part with like the plane noises, the samples, how it like perfectly like loops well into Pink Pilot again. Oh, I thought that was awesome.
A man of taste and quality.
I was just wondering the process behind, because I think that's such a cool thing, because in general, my favorite things is like always just like smooth transitions, and especially albums that are able to like go into themselves, like.
There was a lot of factors, but I think it was Coy primarily. I feel like he was really pushing for the album to sort of, not necessarily, like, I don't even know necessarily if it was specifically looping back on itself, but he kind of wanted more elements, like transitional elements, to kind of tie everything together.
Yeah.
And while a lot of those didn't necessarily make the final cut of the project for a few reasons, the thing at the end was like we baked that into the end of the song to really make the album, because at the end of the day, this was a collection of songs that the thing that they all had in common, the tying thread, was that they were all written at this time where we were experiencing a lot of turmoil and a lot of anxieties and unsureness and adventure and positivity and good stuff as well, but this that like manifests itself in the different genres that come across, and like how, you know, you have to bounce back and forth between like synth pop and yelling and all this different stuff. But at the end, I think I'm Still Here is really cool, because it shows like a common thread sort of between everything, and then it helps the album sort of like solidify itself as sort of a story, and obviously not linearly told, but
for me, for
it's
me
a package
for, yeah that's for, what I'm
for me
yeah.
For me as a writer, also concept and lyrics are really huge, and I really felt like, you know, to be a little more direct, we basically went into a deal that went south that we decided not to take, and because of that, the consequence of it was we lost something like 70 or 80 songs that we've been working on for about 3 months. So it was this devastating thing. We were internally also struggling and fighting with opinions and like getting torn in a lot of different directions. And so when that all happened, you know, and we had to walk away from all the stuff we were working on, we were like, all right, fuck this shit. Let's just independently create another album from scratch. And it's going to inevitably represent a lot of the feelings that went through it. Everything from, you know, the joy and epiphany of like a beautiful opportunity and the promise of like a great journey, to then the harsh reality setting in, to having to deal with the ugly side of something and knowing you're at a brick wall that you have to climb, and everything in between that. And then the last track, you know, I started writing to that beat that Jim had, and like I really felt like I'd been beaten down, but that the fact was like I still existed in this space, and I was still working at it. And so the idea of I'm Still Here started to present itself, which I thought was really cool. And then I'm also a Joaquin Phoenix fan, and he's got that horrible film called I'm Still Here, where
the documentary actor. One about his life. Yeah.
It represented such like an underdog, like failing thing. And then this dude just won an Oscar, and I was like, damn, dude, everyone really doubted this guy. He really looked like he going crazy, but you know, he kept going at it. And so then I thought that conceptually that was a really strong thing to tie. Like the whole message of the album is like, no matter all things you go through, you know, you're still alive, you know, you're still okay. You're growing from the thing that you are. And then Keith, Jim, Coy really came in with that really strong idea to use these voicemails that are taken from real situations. Like the whole Maggot thing, that was a voicemail. That,
that's what I was about to say, ask about after. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we were living with this, social media and video game influencer in his mansion that was slowly going in a downward spiral because they couldn't like afford the debts and all that stuff, and the house was just in decay, and we were all living in the kitchen, and those were voicemails that the owner of that house would just send voicemails out to people all the time. We were like, dude, this represents like what it was like in that situation, and the boys put that in there, and then did this whole medley with all the songs. And that's why that's my favorite song on the album too. I just feel like it's cathartic and really captured the feelings that were real and present at the time that we wrote that.
Yeah, it really feels like you guys kind of like had the package there and you just tied the bow with it. That was like, like you really just like finishing it off with that. Yeah.
Yeah. When I heard them put in that airplane sound, I was like, Oh, it was
so good. It was so good. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
It was just like such a great, like, finish. Yeah.
It's
great.
And it's so key that like the timing of everything worked out the way that it did, just because that was when we kind of really like fully put that song together. It was one of the last songs that we were putting together, and it was right in the last Airbnb that we were in. If you remember, Jean-Louis, it was like in that, because we had like the two like mini houses, and we had like no Wi-Fi, and we were just like struggling. We were just all trying to make these like fast decisions at the end. And we didn't realize at the time, but like we would be gone like less than a week later.
Yeah.
So if things had like the timing had been slightly different, like that decision necessarily wouldn't have gotten made.
Totally. We had to wrap that thing up because we were working on it for the Airbnbs. And then suddenly the Corona thing happened like a week into our month Airbnb. And we were like, oh,
yeah.
Well, here's another thing. Well, yeah. we're used to. Shit up.
So it's just kind of, I think it was a great example of like the way that we were working at the end was just very like, oh my God, we have to do this. And lo and behold, like it came out great. Actually, when I heard the mix and master, the master of that one, I was really excited because I was like, there's so many, oh my God, there's so many like different takes from like different like rooms. They all sound different. I don't know how it's going to ever sound the same. And then Earl just did an amazing job. And I got really kind of like emotional when I heard the ending, because it's like, in addition to like the musical quality of it, it's also like literally these are months and months worth of like melodies that I like lived with for so long, and like now it's like kind of wrapped up as one thing. Yeah. It's like, wow, this is a lot.
Yeah, we don't know when we're pushing it back, though. It's postponed.
We haven't. Yeah, and I. Yeah. Yes. That.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, it's other things take precedence, obviously.
Yeah.
Of course.
But it will. We're still here.
And you guys have also given us some great tasters. You already have, I think, is it four singles out from the album?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
so, I mean,
sir.
You have given, you know, audience tons of tasters. So, yeah.
That's the good thing. And to be honest, it's probably for the best, because we also need a little more time to get our shit together as far as like the visual promotion of the whole thing, and like kind of taking a second, you know, you got to merch up, you got to figure out what the vibe is going to be of this, you know, you got to really make sure it's right. And we have a tendency, because we produce at a fairly quick rate, to just want to like drop, move on. But much like the Corona thing did, you know, we want to like take a second. We're going to really want to say something with this piece as a whole that isn't being said with the singles by themselves. So making sure that that's done correctly will make the extra time worth it.
Yeah. So I guess this probably will be, I think my final question, but I mean, you guys did cover this in general, but after Yikes, whenever hypothetically it does drop, because like you said, it is to be determined, what do you think is next for you guys? You did mention, you know, ideally, if things work out, touring, but is there anything else in the works or any hopes that you guys have currently?
Yeah, man, the next album after that.
Yeah.
That's already in the works. We already got a couple songs that we're jazzed about, you know?
I don't want to, because we were looking at, how many demos was it? We were looking at demos the other day, just between like once from when we started the Discord sessions till like now. It was like, we had like a big old discussion about, we just went through every single song that we've like put together since then. And it was something like, I don't know, maybe 20 or something demos that are like in various stages of completion, and just trying to see like, oh, what's the direction for the next project? It's very early though.
Yeah.
It's very early. And I'm also right now, you know, with the time got we have footage of everything that we've been through, and I'm compiling like a docu-series that's kind of, you know, talks about a lot of these themes. So I think that's something that's going to exist really nicely in tandem with the even newer music, which is cool because as artists we just got to keep working and stockpiling stuff. And then I also want to be able to tell this story in a more narrative way than, you know, what the albums permit.
Yeah, it's a little bit like
jazzed about that.
I like the explicit
animated TV show is what I'm trying to say here, bro. Sorry, I interrupted you, Keith.
Yeah, I was just gonna say some BS. It's fine. Nothing important.
But yeah, dude, we're working it hard. We've seen a lot of exponential growth too. I think in the last 2 months, we went from like 35,000 monthly listeners to we're at like 90,000. Like, yeah, we're trying to break that 100,000 mark.
Yeah. I was like, I think when you guys when I was messaged by Brian, I looked at you guys and I was like, oh shit, these guys are. I was like, damn, like these guys are good. And I remember I sent some of this stuff. I was like super jazzed that Brian reached out to me. And I'm also, I don't know if you guys know his process, how he even discovered me, but I remember I was like, oh, I'll give him a listen. And I did. And I was like, oh shit, I have so many people I know who are going to love this. And I sent it to them. They're like, oh fuck, this is great. How do you find them? And I was like, well, actually, someone contacted me and they want me to, you know, talk to the artist. So
Brian Stone really killed it. Cause the way that we met him was he sent us a random ass email in the middle of getting fucking cucked by every fucking industry piece of shit we were working with. He just sent us an email, and we were like, who the fuck is this guy? He's just a random dude, but that's his penchant. That's his like special skill. He just reaches out, man. That's it.
That guy has a lot of very interesting skills, and he's jazzed about the project. He's jazzed about the music. I definitely like him a lot. He's been very helpful. It's definitely because we've been able to implement a lot of the knowledge of like promotion and all this other stuff we've been learning more effectively, just because it's like he's given us a lot of free room to, you know, focus on a lot of the musical parts of it that we kind of don't always get to because we're like trying to do everything at the same time. Yeah. So yeah, shout out to that guy.
Yeah, it's good once you get someone to be kind of that backbone of the behind the scenes work, so you don't also have to do that. Because I've worked on producing short films and web series both independently and then through like college courses and stuff. And being a actor and producer, like holy fuck, it's tough when you have to do both the artistic aspect and behind the scenes shit. Like oh my god,
You should see Jean-Louis. You should see Jean-Louis when he has to direct a music video that he's in. It's so he's like a whirlwind, man.
Well, that should chill the fuck out, dude.
That is so tough.
Yeah, man. You're right. They're two brains, man. And if you start mixing them up, it's just like a lot.
Yeah.
But sometimes things have to happen, and they won't happen unless you do it. So. That's just, you know, part of it.
Yep.
If you want to act in something, sometimes you got to produce the thing.
Sometimes. You're the one with the vision, and if you also need to act in it, it's...
That's ultimately where the whole in-house mentality really came in. It was like, we don't really have, as a product right now, as a group that doesn't actually, you know, music that takes a long time to ever see your return on any investment. You can't really get consistent materials if you're paying for it in that way. So you have to learn how to do it yourself and get people involved that are on your side and on your team and on your army so that you have an
especially
idea.
Especially so early on, really early on, especially like, which I'm sure many people are in that position right now. Like you don't know anybody. You don't like, you're not connected in any way. You don't have any people where like they're not... no one's doing you favors and so you kind of have to just like figure it out yourself for a really long time.
Yeah.
And that's discouraging to most people, and I think that's why most people kind of stop, unless they're one of the magic people that kind of just has the joy of doing it like weirdly built in, which is I'm always impressed by those people. And we kind of found that collectively as a group. We were able to encourage each other and that's gotten us through many years.
Yeah, and there are certain there are certain difficulties to being a large group, but there's also a lot of things that come with it. And part of that is having a support system. Yeah. That's important when things get really hairy, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you enter an unknown situation by yourself, as opposed to with six of your homies, you know, you're maybe going to get, walk out with a lot more. But at the end of the day, you know, we've got through a lot and we're still kicking. So let's hit it, bro. Animated series. Let's hit it.
Heck yeah. Well, yeah. If you guys, unless you guys have any questions for me, I think that's all that I have, and I'm super excited to see where you guys are going to be working on next and what direction you guys are going to be moving. But yeah, let me know whenever you guys finalize or have a release date for the new stuff, because I'd love to play it on my radio show too. I now have two time slots.
Absolutely.
So I'd love to play the new stuff.
Awesome,
yeah. So for sure. Yeah.
And it's been awesome to talk to you, Gav. Like, thanks for having us, and that's super sweet, and we look forward to that, and, you know,
absolutely
talking again. Always a pleasure.
Keep in touch, guys. But it's been awesome. Let Brian know I thank him, and it's also great meeting you guys and doing this. So
let's go, bro.
Feel free to reach out whenever. Thank you, guys. All right, take
care.
Gav. Yep.
Have a great day, bro.
Peace. You too. See ya.